Good evening, Bill. Welcome to the Space Show.
Good evening.
On previous space shows, we've heard a great deal about satellites and how they can remotely sense features on the ground, and a lot of enthusiasm from scientists. You're a farmer.
That's
how
correct.
Is it actually turning out in reality? We've had promises of things helping the farmer. How does it actually turn out on the ground?
Well, that's a very interesting story. You're very right. There have been a huge range of products that have been developed, and I think it's only fair to say that the remote sensing group themselves are happy to acknowledge that it's a fact that very few of these have found use, especially in the farming area at the farm level. And because this is one of my concerns, we're trying to see what we can do about that to improve the products, the sort of information that's getting them, so they can make better farm management decisions.
So what have been the real problems in the past in getting this to farmers? Most of the stuff nowadays is just not a photograph, it's actually
yes.
computer-based data. How up with computers are farmers?
Well, we at ABARE have a national farm survey, and we assess exactly how many of them have computers on farms, and we found that less than 15% of them actually have, and that was a nationwide survey. Of course, subsets of farmers have a higher proportion of computers. Land care groups tend to be a little bit more innovative and that sort of thing, but on average we're talking about less than 15%. Now, it's not even good enough to just have a computer to access this remotely sensed information. Of course, you've got to have image analysis software, and you've got to have GIS type software, because the remotely sensed software by itself is frequently worthless. It's not until you integrate it with other data sets that it does have its real value for farm level management. So there are a number of constraints to farmers accessing that information of a technical kind. There are also constraints because in many ways they haven't been trained or educated to even understand, be aware of and know how to access this information. I wouldn't want you to think, or your listeners to think, that farmers are dull, backward or boring altogether. They're the ultimate systems analysts, but they're just not used to dealing with this high-tech level of information source, that's all.
So to analyse this data, it's not just a matter of just getting a photograph from space and saying, ah, there's my farm, great. You've got to actually know what to do with it, don't you?
Precisely. Fortunately, there has been a land care, an approach that's going to facilitate the use of this sort of information, and that is, I'm referring to the development and use by land care groups of property management plans. It's very much a spatial type information concept, and the majority of farms that develop these property management plans, what you start out with is a base map of the area, and you overlay other layers of information onto that, and things like fence lines, things like drainage lines, soil types can all be superimposed on that map and provide a management aid. Now, to date, these can range from 10-year-old aerial photographs with plastic overlays and Chinagraph drafting on top of them, and of course that's got some inherent disadvantages in terms of being able to change it, store it and those sorts of things. But pragmatically, farmers are used to dealing with hard copy, and so it has been a useful beginning to understanding spatial information. And I'm hoping that it's that environment into which we'll be able to eventually inject the information that comes from remotely sensed sources. However, there are a few constraints to be overcome before we can do that. I've mentioned the training, I've mentioned the education, the hardware, the software. Probably, if I was to have to nominate it, I would say that the single biggest problem will be accessing the other data that has to come with the remotely sensed data for it to be of use. At the present time, throughout the whole of Australia, we don't have access to that sort of information at the scale that farmers need it. A huge initiative at the moment is state GISs on different levels of information, but these are all at 1 to 250,000 and greater scales. which is totally inadequate for farm level management. We need scales of less than 1 to 10,000. In passing, incidentally, that obviously means that there is a bit of a constraint to the sorts of remotely sensed information we can have too, because some of those, in fact, have pixel sizes and scales that are too broad for farm-level information as well. Just in passing, I think that there's probably one other little analogy that you might be interested in, and that is if you look around and see who it is that's applying remotely sensed information in the real world in an applied and practical way, the Cinderella story, of course, for remote sensing in Australia and elsewhere in the world has been the minerals and energy people. And there's a huge intake, and they are responsible for the purchase of about 50% of the remote sensing products in Australia. And if you look at the characteristics of the firms and the nature and the way they use that information in the minerals and energy industry, it's quite interesting to then go and compare that with the farm level users and see just exactly how they differ. And obviously in the minerals and energy, you're dealing with huge multinational firms, big investment budgets. They have opportunity for tax concessions on purchases of information, for exploration budgets. All of these things farmers don't have. They have people who are usually, in many cases in the exploration case, used to dealing with high-tech types of analysis, used to dealing with computers and major technical analytical ways. There's just so many characteristics of these minerals and energy companies that aren't close to what we have at the farm level. If we want farmers to use this information successfully on the same scale, we have to look at those as impediments, and gradually as we remove them, I'm confident that we'll see an uptake in the use of information at the farm level as well.
Okay, a few farmers have been doing this for some time, as you mentioned, but to do so, they, as it stands at the moment, they need a computer, they need the software, and they need the data.
Yes.
Now, all that costs money, and of course we hear how farmers are going broke.
Yes.
You know, it's really tragic, you know, being forced off the land, and this is obviously something on top. Is this cost effective for the farmer to go and buy these things in order to improve his farm use, or you know, does the cost just exceed the benefits that come in?
From the farmer's point of view, at the present time, it is definitely not economical for him to do it. The costs are just far too high for it to be a profitable thing for him to do. That doesn't mean that certain individuals aren't going to do it anyway. They're going to do it for a whole range of reasons, whether the benefits are greater than the costs anyway. I'm talking very specifically now about farm management applications. I'll give you one example. We looked at a situation where it turned out that it was profitable, actually, but it's based on some work where Peter Vickery from the CSIRO, based in Armidale, New South Wales, has developed some remotely sensed imagery that looks at pasture productivity. And that information is then used as the basis for drawing up farmers' fertiliser strategies. Now, we did the sums on that and found that for an individual farm, it's probably worth about, it might sound only a small amount, but about a net profit of about $3.25 per hectare per year of his pasture program to actually do that. Now, the only problem with this is that for that to happen, we were assuming some of the things that you were talking about occurred, and that is that he did have access to the other information needed to put the strategy together. He did have access to the computer hardware. He did have access to someone in the extension system who really knew about remotely sensed information. That happens in very few places around Australia. For the particular application, yes, it was profitable under those circumstances. If we were to overcome some of those, let's call them impediments, we've estimated that this could be worth up to $50 million because we could see the same technology being used throughout the high rainfall zone of Australia. If that $50 million assumed only something like 30% of the farmers adopting the technology in the areas where it could be applied. So this is something that could have value, and that's why I'm motivated to look at these impediments in a serious way.
Mm. So are any strategies in step to or in train to overcome these impediments?
Fortunately, yes. A number of people working fairly seriously on this. Australian Centre for Remote Sensing ACRES in Canberra is looking at it from a marketing perspective, and they're looking at exactly what sorts of information the users might need at the farm level. They're not just confining this farm level information to the farming fraternity. For example, there's a number of people who could use the same set of information. For example, real estate agents who might also be interested in what is happening on farms. Mind you, just for your listeners, I think there's a couple of incredibly interesting issues that come out of this on property rights. For example, I'll just ask a question for which I'll leave your listeners to decide what the answer is, but should a financial institution have the right to monitor one of their clients' farming practices and productivity and forms of land degradation remotely? I think as a society this is an issue that we're going to have to address. Another related issue is how much should they have to pay for that information? Oh, once again, I won't answer that specifically, but there are three quite separate groups who are in this area. Some are saying it should be a free set of information for everybody. Others are saying it should be priced at the value that it provides to produce the service, and yet others are saying we want to get out there and sell it as a market commodity and only give access to people who can pay top dollar for it. From a community's perspective, I think it's going to be very important that the community addresses those two issues of property rights and price of information. It's something that scientists quite frequently don't think about.
Mm. You mentioned real estate agents being interested in this. Do you think it would be possible to use the data from the satellite and aircraft or whatever else to actually produce a farm valuation?
At this point in time, products of that kind are being developed. Property valuation studies rely on a number of sets of information. Remotely sensed information, if it can't do anything else, provides an excellent assessment of the area very accurately. It shows where the fence lines are, the number of paddocks, the drainage system, the watering points, and that's a very cost-effective way compared with any other alternative to access that information. Now, the bottom line for real estate agents, of course, is to know what is the income potential of a particular farm and how is that changing over time. To assess that, we need to know something more about the productivity of the farm, which is a function of the soils and the soil types, which to an extent we can infer from the productivity of the biomass that a farm is producing at any point in time and how that's changing over time. We can also infer where the productivity story is going wrong in different forms of land degradation by gully erosion, where acid soils is retarding productivity, where dryland salinity is causing scalds where you don't have any production or something like that. Now, all of that sort of information potentially can be gained from a remote sense source, and with that information, someone who's trained in assessing productivity potential can sit down and work these things out. Mm. Yes.
Mm. So this research, how is it being funded?
Well, that's an interesting story. ACRES in Canberra have a market product development budget.
Dr. ACRES being the
Australian Centre for Remote Sensing Information in Canberra. We have a number of people working on this project, and Dr. Brian Button from Canberra University has a company, and he's been asked as someone who deals with farmers all the time to be involved in the technical development of a product that would suit these real estate agents and land value assessors. And of course, it's not just good enough to assess the trends in productivity. It's got to be translated into dollar terms, so that if we're talking about a particular grazing property with livestock production in a particular area, we need to know what sort of stocking rates you could have on that and how that would translate into income per hectare from that property. So it's got to be a full integrated team effort to get the results we need.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Bill.
You're welcome.